Hello, my name is Joshua Gilliland, attorney blogger on Bowtie Law and with Jessica Meterson on The Legal Geeks. Today, I will discuss the importance of collection, processing, and the production of email messages with their attachments. In short, maintaining the family relationship between a parent document, like an email, and its attachments, which would be the children. The case that brought this to light recently was Specknick v. Roper and Krodowski, which the Lexis site is 2014 U.S. District Lexis 11894. And the opinion is from Kansas, and it was issued on January 27th, 2014. So what happened in this case, there's a production dispute, and the defendants were ordered to produce relevant discovery that was responsive to several requests, and they did so in PDF format without attachments. Now, a funny thing happened at the meet and confer. The defendants claimed that they could not produce the attachments from their email server and then did not explain why. Now, as a warning sign, the judge actually did state in his opinion, it is unclear why the defendants claim that it is impossible to include every attachment to the produced emails, but somehow they are able to produce specific attachments upon request. This boils down to how to defensibly collect electronically stored information, then the production of said information, and also little form production issues and maintaining the parent-child relationship. So collection is using a product, usually done by a forensic collection expert, to go in and make a duplicate copy of email data, electronically stored information that's relevant to the lawsuit. We've been doing this for a very long time, and there are many different ways to collect the information. There's the forensic expert approach. Also, many organizations have enterprise content management systems where they can control the data and issue a litigation hold and sequester relevant information and then export it out to a review platform. After collection takes place, there is processing of electronically stored information. And a lot of these applications merge these two stages together now. Some don't, and that's okay. But it's, again, the technology exists to go, we have this data set. Now we are going to export out the data from specific custodians, perhaps based upon specific date ranges, perhaps based upon specific subjects to email messages, other keywords or predictive analytics that says out of the 2 gigabytes of information, here are the 30 messages that are relevant. Or if it's a really big case and you're starting with a terabyte, it could knock it down to the gigabytes that are actually relevant into the case. When that information is exported out, there's a large body of case law that says you have to maintain the family relationship between an email message and its attachments. And the same could hold true for text messages and images attached to them or video files because you have a parent piece of data that has attachments to it. So in this case, going back to it, the producing party did not produce as native files because they claimed the requesting party didn't state the form of production. And as such, the producing party tried to make this a fight about the form of production. The judge, to his credit, did not take the bait and focused on the real issue in the case, and that the issue was the failure to produce responsive files. And the court justified its order in saying, go out and produce what you haven't produced, based upon, you know, and I quote, the defendants offer no excuse for their failure to produce responsive documents, except that the plaintiff never requested the documents in native format. Plaintiffs simply want the documents that the court ordered defendants to produce, regardless of format. Because plaintiffs failed to specify a form for producing the electronically stored information and attachments. Defendants were required under Rule 34B2EII either to produce the attached email and attachments in the form 1, in which they are ordinarily maintained, or 2, in a reasonably usable form. Defendants failed to produce the attachments at all. Defendants also failed to show PDF is the form in which their emails and attachments are ordinarily maintained. End quote. It is very rare, it can happen, but it's very rare that a organization or an individual would convert every email message that they send at the end of the day to a static image like a PDF, petrify the attachments to PDFs as well, and that's the way that they ordinarily maintain their ESI and they delete the native files. It could happen, but I think it's the exception and not the norm. But there could be a company out there that is their data retention policy. And so since ESI is ordinarily maintained in its native application in virtually every case that I've seen, barring a couple, the way that you would need to produce ESI when the form of production is not stated is in its native application. Well, the technology to do this has existed for a very long time, and the people who make it and the people who use it are very good at it. And so this gets to the issue of getting the lawyers who represent clients to use a service provider for help when it's necessary. When you think of an attorney's duty of competency, it is incumbent upon them to seek out expertise for skills that they do not have. Moreover, lawyers don't want to turn themselves, or their paralegals for that matter, into expert witnesses in a case. So it is highly important to go, this is a case where we have to go out and get the email messages off the client's email server. So we're going to retain an expert to go out and do that. They'll interface with the client's IT personnel. They'll figure out the collection protocol. They will use the right technology for the job, whether it is an email archiving system on site that has early data assessment analytics built in, or if they're using some other proprietary technology to go out and then make bit-by-bit images of what's relevant to the case. That might require making a full mirror image, or it might require doing a targeted collection. The facts will dictate which way to go in the situation. That being said, after the data is collected, it's then processed, it's then reviewed, and then a production set is created for the other side based upon either initial disclosures and local rules if it has to be produced under, you know, those circumstances, or if it's requested and you are making a production pursuant to discovery requests. So at the end of the day, we have the technology to do this, and we have the technology to do it well. There really is no longer any excuse to break the family relationship between email messages and their attachments because we have the tools and we have the technology to do it right. Thank you for listening today, and tune in for more case summaries and other information.